Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
In these weeks before Christmas Sunday, which is also the last Sunday of 2016, we are looking at the four main names and titles given to the Savior of sinners, proclaimed to us in the Bible. We have thought, so far, of two of his names. The Savior's God-given personal name is Jesus, which means Savior. The God-given official name or title of the Savior is Christ, meaning the Anointed One, the Messiah. What a Savior the Christian gospel message proclaims, just thinking of these two names so far. Today, we think yet of another name or title of the Savior, that he is called Lord, too. Oh, how often you will find the three names together, even Jesus Christ the Lord, or our Lord Jesus Christ. What tons of good news, dear friends, for us, just in these three names of the Savior. And next week, God willing, we will consider yet a fourth name. Thinking now of the glorious title Lord, let me point out to you a text in the last book of the New Testament, Revelation 19:16. There we are told about the exalted returning Christ, and he hath on his vesture, his robe, and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. It is clearly and doubly displayed, in other words, this title of the triumphant Savior. And when you look at this verse in its context, it is very plain how the whole chapter really is of such relevance in connection with Jesus' title, Lord. One commentary, in fact, states concerning this chapter, and I quote, John leaves us in no doubt as to who is supreme Lord. End of quote. So it is fitting now to study this passage in our focus of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We are learning this broadcast. Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, is not simply our candidate, Jesus Christ, among many other possible lords and masters out there. He's not just our favorite Jesus Christ, either, among other saviors to be found in this world. He's not our maybe potential hopeful helper who has a good chance of being our champion leader, possibly eventually down the road, perhaps the winner one day. No, no. But he is, and Scripture teaches us over and over what God's people may know and confess in spirit and truth. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we can't even mention these three names together without thereby acknowledging Jesus' supremacy and sovereignty and absolute royal power over all as Savior of sinners. The Savior, dear friends, is the Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord. In other words, Jesus is the Savior with almighty supreme power and glory and honor, whether people will confess it or not, something his added name, Lord, so confirms for us. What an encouragement this may give all Christians, and what a warning for all unbelievers to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. From our text, Revelation 19, under the theme, Jesus is Lord, notice with me now then, one, the evidence for his lordship, two, the earnestness of his lordship, and three, the excellence of his lordship. First of all, what is the evidence of Jesus as Lord? Indeed, as the Lord over all, Lord God above all. Here we need to think of Revelation 19 in its context. The book of Revelation is all about the unveiling of Jesus Christ the Lord, and all he is and all he does for his church in all ages unto the end even, and into the endless eternity. In the opening verses of the book of Revelation, Jesus is described in chapter 1, verse 5 and following as Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince or ruler of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. A couple of verses later, too, we read this same Jesus Christ, the Lord, stating, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Doesn't that tell us this book of Revelation is all about the ruling, reigning, exalted, supreme Christ Jesus, and who he is and promises to be for all his people, and what he all will do for all those who trust and follow him? Yes, dear friends, this is what that last book of the Bible is altogether proclaiming and making most clear, namely, that unto Jesus Christ, the victorious, exalted Lamb of God, belongs the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Even when it doesn't seem like that at present. Also not in John's day. Think of him banished on the island of Patmos, persecuted for the faith. Still, the Savior Jesus of Nazareth, regardless what things may seem like, he reigns and rules at God's right hand from the throne room in the highest heaven. And he works all things together for good for all his people, for the coming of his kingdom, as long foretold even hundreds of years before Jesus coming to this earth in Isaiah 9 verse 6 and following, the government shall be upon his shoulder, that is, upon Jesus Christ's shoulder as Lord. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Coming to Revelation 19 itself now, we are brought to the foretelling of the end of the age, the last days of this world. In chapter 18, we are told of the final falling and defeat of Babylon, meaning the end of this evil world and the apostate church, which end is coming for sure. Chapter 19 foretells to us something of the triumphant celebration then of God's kingdom through Jesus Christ the Lord, over against all the kingdoms of this world, and the certain defeat and destruction of the leading demonic powers on earth. Jesus is Lord in this sense, that he is the Savior God, triumphant over all. So we also read in this passage, verse 6, the encouraging gospel statement most loudly and majestically proclaimed about Jesus Christ the Lord. Alleluia, literally, praise Jehovah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. In other words, you see, Jesus is Lord over all. The smoke of the enemy kingdoms, as represented with the fall of Babylon, her smoke rose up forever and ever, we are told in verse 3. Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Yes, that's the blessed testimony of Revelation 19, starting already with verse 1. The reality is, you see, according to the Bible, and for confessing believers, this is such a praise item. Jesus Christ is Lord. Being Lord is attached to him being Jesus Christ, and that phrase, our Lord Jesus Christ, is so precious for God's people. If we only think of the meaning of this all, is Jesus being named also Lord a matter of great praise also for you, dear friends? Do we think enough how praiseworthy a matter this is, that Jesus of Nazareth, of the seed of David, he reigns now and forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Oh, imagine it were not so. What hope would there be then? But since Christ Jesus is on the throne above all, what need Christians to fear now, ever? For shall the Lord Jesus Christ not rule in the most wonderful, right, loving, caring, fulfilling way? Oh, praise God also now in this 21st century still, until the end of the world, the God of the Bible reigns, and to Jesus is given all power in heaven and on earth for his gracious, glorious, grand gospel purposes. As Revelation 19 verse 5 exhorts when thinking of this, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. What clear evidence this chapter gives, too, that the Lord Jesus has purchased a people and saved them from their sins through his precious blood. How does that come out, you ask? It comes out in at least two references to the Lord Jesus as the Lamb in verse 7 and again in verse 9. Jesus is the Lamb of God, who through his once-for-all sacrifice with the shedding of his blood redeems and saves sinners, as many as trust and follow him. The Savior owns a people as his prized possession, even speaking of his own as his body and his bride. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, speaks thus of how God's people are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Behold the Lamb on the throne, Jesus Christ the Lord. And what a great innumerable multitude of people he redeems through his blood. In this chapter, verse 1 of Revelation 19, the number of the redeemed are referred to as much people, and in verse 6 as a great multitude. Yes, from every tribe and tongue and nation, saved through the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, trusting and following him as only Savior and Lord. The text speaks too of the fine linen, clean and white, which the redeemed may wear in heaven. And we know from chapter 7 how those fine clothes are given to God's redeemed. In Revelation 7, halfway into verse 13, we read this question about the redeemed in heaven. What or who are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, literally shepherd them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You see how precious this is? Jesus is Lord, reigning over all, and he has a people that are his people, purchased through his precious blood, and that people serve him and worship him and acknowledge him as Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus Christ being also Lord, we see he provides for his people, and he is the protector of his people. Wonderfully so. In chapter 19, reference is made to the great marriage supper of the Lamb, telling of the endless, blessed, rich provision Jesus Christ has obtained for his people. Jesus Christ the Lord is the most wonderful, glorious Lord and Master for his people. We see too in our text passage the exalted Savior in action and on the move as Lord for the protection and keeping of his people. Revelation 19 brings out Jesus on the white horse with his word and his supreme power, not only saving the redeemed, but bringing to judgment and defeat all that will resist and oppose him. And he will not rest till he brings all his own home in eternal glory with him. In the second half of the chapter, we are reminded of the Lord's swift and irrevocable judgment upon all who resist him. There's so much that can be said about all the details of the chapter, but I just want to bring out the summary point of it all, thinking of the name Lord. How Jesus reigns supreme in provision and defense of his people, and in the fulfillment of all his gospel promises for his people, and bringing total defeat and everlasting punishment upon all who will not bow the knee to him, and against all the forces of Satan and evil. Oh, this is the word of the Lord, as Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 also states emphatically, these are the true sayings of God. We need to listen to them, in other words, dear friends. Through Jesus Christ the Lord, you and I may be and can be and will be delivered, not only from all our sins and sinfulness, but also from all the power of the devil. When we repent of sin and follow him, Jesus Christ the Lord, our God reigns. Jesus Lord, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and he is a Savior with many crowns on his head, as the text says in verse 12. Can there be a greater blessing than being the property, the possession of Jesus Christ, and having him as your Savior and Lord and your Master, to whom we owe our all in all? Do you acknowledge Christ Jesus as your only Savior and the Lord as your Lord? The purpose of this sermon is not only that you and I know and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, as has been explained, but that we do so as expressed also in Revelation 19, full of jubilant praise and adoration for Jesus as Lord. It is worthy of note that Revelation 19, which so shows Jesus' lordship over all, is the one chapter in all the New Testament where the word Alleluia is found. The word Alleluia or Hallelujah occurs only in this passage in all of the New Testament, and it appears four times in this one chapter, verses 1, 3, 4, and 6. Hallelujah means literally, praise Yahweh. In the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, it is regularly translated as, praise ye the Lord. Revelation 19, giving so much evidence about Jesus as Lord, teaches, as one put it, quote, salvation through him is more than personal deliverance. In this chapter we learn also it refers to the safeguarding of God's entire redemptive program. End of quote. In other words, you see, Christ Jesus' glory and power as Lord refers to the majesty and might revealed in effecting a deliverance of such grand and supreme and endless scope. So praise the Lord, yes, that Jesus is Lord. I ask you in Jesus' name, dear friends, are you praising God that Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings? Is this revelation of Jesus as the Lord over all not also most encouraging in the faith to you who are confessing Christians? Will not every true believer begin already here on this earth truly and repeatedly to praise God for this truth, as also so brought out in our text chapter, Revelation 19? May this sermon so encourage and admonish all who are confessing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think here too of Paul's words in Romans 6:23, where he declares emphatically and with enthusiasm under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. To see further the urgency and importance of this matter, I come now to our second main point, moving from the evidence of Jesus' lordship to the earnestness of Jesus as Lord. That this is an earnest matter comes out, how, in our text chapter? Well, you see with me, don't you, from Revelation 19, when you read it, how all who will not bow the knee to Jesus Christ the Lord, all who live apart from him and indifferent to him, and in disobedience and rebellion before him, all such will surely be consumed by the wrath of the Lamb. There's no exception here either, also for anyone listening now. Except you in this life repent of sin and trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you are and remain unconverted and forever condemnable in God's sight because of all your sins and sinfulness. Not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, also in this chapter, Revelation 19, you will find Jesus the Lord, not for you, but against you, in his holy just judgment. Those who trample underfoot, as it were, the blood of the Lamb, come to be Savior, Jesus Christ, ignoring him, despising him, well, such will be, in fact, also trampled underfoot under the righteous judgment of the Lamb. He who rides on the white horse in final judgment against all the wicked and unbelieving, he knows everything about us, you and me, each one of us, and all of us. Not a single thought or word or deed from you or anyone is unknown to the Lord. All the multitude of our sins and foul transgressions in thought, word, and deed are before him, and without being washed away by Christ's precious blood of atonement, without him as your Savior and Lord, you will perish in your sins forever. The same is true for me. If I do not believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, all the unbelieving and wicked will be cast in the lake that burns with fire forever, even together with Satan and the beast and the false prophet. We live in a time when this teaching is not popular nor appreciated, and seldom heard. People delude themselves thinking and believing it just won't be so. But as Christ's ambassador, I urge you don't fall for the lie of our age that Jesus would never do such a thing as this, cast people into hell. He is the one who spoke most of all Christian teachers and preachers in the New Testament about hell. The fact is, the Lord will cast those who reject him into hell, all who will not repent and believe on him. You may think sin is not such a serious matter, and ongoing rebellion against the Lord not something so alarming. But it is, dear friends, it is. You can't afford to live a single moment longer, not trusting and obeying Jesus Christ now as your only Savior and Lord. Revelation chapter 19 shows Jesus on the march on his white horse, and then without a battle even, the next thing we read is not only about the marriage supper of the Lamb as for God's people, but then also of awful judgment for all the wicked, everyone who refuses to bow the knee in spirit and truth before Jesus Christ the Lord. It is not something to scoff at how God's word repeatedly foretells the eternal joy of the redeemed in heaven. Not only that, but also the endless agony of the unsaved in hell. And the point now is, and it's a gracious point, it is a matter of earnestness that Jesus Christ is Lord over all. Will you who are still not saved by his grace and not following him in repentance and faith, will you hear yet the gracious loving call from Jesus the Lord, even as it comes now to us from Revelation 19? Today is the day of salvation. Do you hear Jesus' gospel call? You who are not yet submitting to him, let the fact of Jesus the Savior's lordship draw you and drive you to him while it is still the day of grace. For how terrible or how horrible to continue with self and Satan as your Lord. And what hopeless, awful, eternal punishment will be yours then, if you should so die and come before the last judgment. He that has an ear, let him hear. Yes, let us listen to the gospel, considering to the third point so clearly brought out in our text passage as well, namely the excellence of Jesus' lordship over us. The excellence of his lordship. Jesus, Lord, is the infinitely best master and ruler you and I could ever have. Being saved by him, as this chapter brings out, we become not only his children, but heirs together with him of eternal life in heaven, and welcome guests for always at the endless, splendid, lavish, joyful, unbelievably ever-satisfying marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus, as Lord, delivers his people from out the worst of bondage and miseries to the best of the greatest privileges and blessings ever possible. Oh, to what dignity and lofty heights Jesus, the Lord, lifts his people. We know too, don't we, the great secret or reason for the excellence of Jesus' lordship of his people. It is all on account of the infinitely excelling person and work of Christ, the Savior of sinners. He, on sinners' behalf, for the salvation of his people, as Savior, Lord Supreme, left the glory of heaven and became the man of sorrows, despised and rejected of men. Jesus, as the just for the unjust, experienced thus and went through suffering utmost indignity and shame, even to death, yes, even to death on the cross, that sinners like us, you and me, through his poverty might be rich, and through his indignity, faithfully suffered and endured, might be offered free and full salvation and dignity, most glorious for us, for now and forevermore. When you think of what endless shame and punishment in body and soul we deserve for our sins and sinfulness, but how that Jesus accomplished that all for us as Savior of sinners, and how he did so in endless love and mercy towards people like us, does it not cause you to, dear friends, to bow the knee in humble and glad submission before him and holy adoration for him? To realize too that is God's pleasure and delight, namely, that whosoever believes in him, even the vilest of the vile, Jesus welcomes. Jesus Christ the Lord saves and transforms sinners like us, making us from unnoble ones to ennobled ones, from rags to riches, from dishonorable to honorable, from hell-bound to heaven-bound, from rebels to saints, from condemned to justified, from defiled to washed whiter than snow, from forever doomed in judgment, instead now to eternal guests at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, yes, the excellence of Jesus' lordship can't be surpassed. No, not in any way ever. No, never. Shouldn't this be your and my exuberant, consistent, sincere gospel testimony, too, as confessing Christians living in this world, with so many following far lesser masters and evil-serving lords of so many kinds? The book of Revelation is given by God to teach and assure his suffering and struggling people here below that Christ Jesus, in whom they trust and in whom is their refuge, well, he as faithful and good-doing, all-wise, almighty Savior God, is also Lord over all. This means that while life here on earth still may be and is full of trials and temptations and struggles and sorrows and valleys, yes, also very much as his people and in his service, yet there is a new day coming full of hope and glory. The Lord Jesus Christ promises an eternal rest so sweet and splendid that words cannot express it. And it's all for free, for his own name's sake, because of his finished work on sinners' behalf. Will you have Revelation 19 showing Jesus Lord over all indeed be of great encouragement to you in the faith here and now? Should it not stir up God's people in diligent faithfulness in God's ways and zealous gospel witness to his praise? Jesus Christ is Lord, something all the Bible teaches us. Clearly, too, Revelation 19 gives such evidence for this and tells of the earnestness about this and the excellence of his lordship. And it proclaims what may be your and my expectation with this gospel truth. Will you be both blessed and a blessing, keeping ever before you how Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Don't let another Christmas season go by forgetting or ignoring this gospel teaching, will you? No, don't, for soon enough it will be clear, as prophesied in Psalm 72 already and proven in Revelation, Christ shall have dominion over land and sea, and earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. Indeed, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.